I want to give enough time to our next speaker, who is Robert O'Brien. He has long been interested in recordings of literature, and his article, Literature Recordings, is published in the Encyclopedia of Recorded Sound. He has also given presentations on literature recordings at ARS conferences from San Francisco to Syracuse. When he started working on the world's first Shakespeare discography, he learned that Shakespeare's plays were translated into a variety of languages, more than just the expected German and French. In fact, Robert may have the only Spanish, Romanian, and Hebrew translations of Shakespearean plays. Last September, he was the only American participating in the International Shakespeare Conference in Moscow. During the sessions conducted entirely in Russian, a play director took him to lunch and along the way showed him a wall of CD-like discs. With the director's help, Robert left the store with six Shakespeare plays in Russian. Back in the States, he began reading about Shakespeare and Russia, and he learned that Catherine the Great in the 18th century was the first to translate Shakespeare into Russian, perhaps using a German translation of Merry Wives of Windsor. Skipping through the 1930s, today's presentation starts at a later period and swings back to a piece from the age of Stalin. With all this intrigue, I give you Robert O'Brien.
Good evening, or good morning. When I was at that International Shakespeare Conference, I was the only American in that event. But I took out for lunch with one of them, and he went shopping and headed in a store and went to a wall and returned to me with six discs of Shakespeare plays in Russian. As far as I know, the only ones that cross the border from Russia. And that pushed me in to know more and more about this. And it starts off with this six, and there they are, and you, those handouts. And those are those six tragedies, three tragedies and three comedies. And that company was originated in 1991, and for after about 18 years, they were putting out a whole variety of books, but in 09, they came out with the first Shakespeare play. Now, let me say, if you were going to put out a Shakespeare play, which one would you choose first? Yeah, Macbeth, Hamlet, or whatever. That's not it. That's the Much Ado About Nothing, a comedy. And I was really puzzled by this because, let me say, on the back of these books, there's a brief introduction to Russians about Shakespeare. That is an abridged, not a full play, abridged, a shortened play. And it's a brief introduction to each Russian to know more about Shakespeare. And that's where we start. But it pushed me back to think more about this. Let me say, let's go back to Shakespeare. Shakespeare was born around 1550. And in Russia, there was the Tsar was in the vicinity of the same year. The Tsar became known as Tsar Terrible for killing thousands and thousands of people in Russia. And Shakespeare became famous for making a play to entertain people. Shakespeare had an impact over centuries. In France, a variety of people translated Shakespeare plays into French. In Germany, a variety of translators translated Shakespeare's into German. And basically, now let's see if I can find a way to move this thing. There it is. There's Catherine. Now, she married on to this fellow, another German, but he was very, very weak. He did not bother, he did not learn much Russian. He did not bother to learn English. He did not bother to learn French. And he was just a pure annoyance in Russia. And Catherine maybe was anticipating that she was going to push on to a divorce. And so she got, with the help of her lovers, they pushed him out of the city. And if you will read about him with that handout, he was killed after a short life of being the emperor of Russia. Then Catherine became in charge, and she was multilingual, multi-interest, with multi-lovers. And along the way, what was the first play to run as entertainment for her? Merry Wives of Windsor. And that is, as far as I'm aware of, the first Shakespeare translated into Russian by Catherine, the emperor. 2 centuries later, the phonograph came into the world, and it started off across England, moved over into France, moved over into Germany, and a little bit after that, it reached over into Russia. And then you can see that top line, and you can see the date of that. In 35, he came up with a passage from Othello. Now, who would ever anticipate Othello in Russia? But 2 years later, another famous Russian actor had preserved his voice. And he's preserved his voice with Othello also. And both, you can see these, the business of producing records. You can see these different companies put out these identical records. The business had become industrious, active in Russia. And they were basically, like everybody else, on music. But when they reached out for the actors, then they got to the famous actors with a passage of Shakespeare in Russian. And you just notice along the way, right in between the 35s and the 37, there is Merry Wives of Windsor that had been changed into a Russian opera. And so we're saying, what is happening about this? Well, along the way, the Communist Party had taken control after World War I. And Stalin was the leader in Russia. And his major follower is Zhdanov, who was the one most of us are familiar with the name Stalin. Most of us were not familiar with Zhdanov, but he was the top follower of him. However, he doesn't come straight out of Russia. You and I, you got the news about Ukraine. He's a Ukrainian, way in the southern part, way over on the east side. And this Ukrainian moved up and joined with the Communist Party in Moscow. And he gives little projects dealing control of other countries nearby and so forth. But he became the leader of censorship. He objected to the critics that approved plays and poets and books in other languages. And so basically, then you were on the brink of World War II, and in World War II, the actors were being busy helping entertain the forces on the front. Then the war ended, and then they had to get order back in Russia. And the top committee turned over controller Zhdanov, and you can see among the handouts is Decree 21. And Decree 21 in English, that's my sloppy translation, but you can also have it in the complete Russian version about that, and you can get somebody else to improve that translation. But there is the original Decree 21. And in 21, that is his rules of what should be imposed upon the stage. And the basic rule is you cannot depreciate anybody. Everyone in Russia has to be good or almost perfect. You cannot be flawed. And you can read this in this decree, then that attacks on comedy on the stage. And so basically, and let me say, on the front cover of that handout, you can turn it over on that one, and you can read more accurate details about Zhdanov's decree, his doctrine. And basically, it is not merely about the stage. He had attacked a well-known French or a well-known Russian poet at a national conference meeting. He described her as a combination of a nun and a prostitute, and he attacked her poetry. He attacks the composers. And he attacked the writers of plays, and he is on a record of ordering tens or hundreds of thousands of people. And basically, with this rule of this committee, then that would be the threat of anybody who follows his rule, they would be punished. All righty, what does the performer's response to that? This decree came out in August 1946, And in 1946, you can see that first one that came out in 09, that is a duplicate. That's not the original. That's the duplicate of a 46 recording, a radio recording. Zarnarf's decree, it attacks upon comedy on the stage. This, their response, it's a comedy. And then you can turn to the back page of it and you can see what people did this. Everyone was important. The leader was the director who had been there, the director for years, and who had entertained troops on the front. We have a stamp of one. We have a painting of her on in museums. And now we know these five people, and their basic response is to reject Zarnarf's decree. And basically, then the next question is, that was back in 46. Why does it come up in 09? Putin is a new leader. And why did they choose that one? Is that also a response to Putin, who is the current person? Running out of gas for you.
Okay. That's it? Okay. Thank you very much, Robert. There's maybe time for just one question. Yes.
So it's just an anecdote. My father grew up in Siberia in one of Stalin's gulags. His mother was the doctor of the camp. He wasn't a prisoner there, obviously. And one of his memories is, and it must have been after 46, maybe between 47 and 49, that a troupe of actors came and performed Romeo and Juliet for the prisoners in the gulag.
Really?
Yes. So I just wanted to share that performances of Shakespeare did happen, not only for the troops, but also for people that were sent away.
Yeah, the impact of Shakespeare is the unexpected. Who would anticipate that Shakespeare's play just grab attention around the world like this? It's the unexpected part of life about this thing. And when you get it in a prison, and they come up with Romeo and Juliet, who would anticipate it in the middle of Russia? It's astonishing.
Wow, that was really amazing. Unfortunately, we're kind of out of time, but I bet our speakers wouldn't mind staying a minute or two if any of you wanted to come up and ask any questions. I also see there's a record player up there that might be interesting. But otherwise, thank you very, very much to the speakers, and thank you to all of you, and enjoy coffee.